Hey, road trippers, you have indeed reached Agave Road Trip, the podcast that helps gringo bartenders better understand agave spirits in rural Mexico. But before we can take off on this week's road trip, we need to fill up the tank, which is code for pay the bills, which is code for run the commercials for the folks who are enabling us to go on these agave road trips. So sit back and Chava and I will circle back to you in a second.
This week on Meet and Three, we explore the relationship between food and style.
I knew from the start that I never wanted to like hot glue bread onto my body. Like I wanted to be able to enjoy it after, and I did.
Food, which is so ephemeral, right? It's something that you eat and it disappears. With an image, it remains. It stays alive forever.
Food and fashion align in that they're both lenses through which to look at culture, right? And they're both also tangible things we can use to express ourselves and our identities.
Tune in to Meet in Three, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Je suis un grand canard, monsieur la tête de pomme de terre.
Lou, are you speaking in tongues?
Oh, Chava, I thought you spoke French.
I do, Lou. I lived in Nice for a year, and what exactly is that you're trying to speak?
Well, I'm trying to speak French.
Okay, if you say so, and what are you trying to say in French?
I am saying I would like to try your sombra mezcal, please.
Again, okay, if you say so, but why are you attempting to order your sombra in French?
Oh, Chava, young Chava, have you not heard? There is a new sombra on the market. They're reposy.
I think you mean reposado?
No, Chava, that's Spanish. I'm speaking French.
Then I think you mean reposé.
Ah, le reposé es fantástico.
Still not French, but could you please get to the point?
Yeah, sure. Sombra has a new aged version of their award-winning Espadín Mezcal, and it's being aged in Bordeaux's oak wine barrels.
Good Lord, Bordeaux.
Oh, yeah, that actually sounds better. Bordeaux wine barrels from me. Could you read this for me?
Okay, let me check. Château Leville Poitferré. Wow, that's one of the original second growth states in Bordeaux established in 1855?
I'm not sure exactly what second growth means, but I can tell from all of your exclamation points that it's significant, which is what I figured from everything I've been reading about this. So I'm thinking the next time I go to a mezcal bar and I try to order a copita full of
Sombra reposé.
Right. Next time I go to order a copita of Sombra Reposé, I'm going to have to be able to speak fancy. Fancy talk gets you fancy mezcal.
I'm guessing you could just say, I'd like the Sombra Reposé.
You know nothing is that simple with me, Chava.
I do, Lou, but for everyone else, just say, I'd like the Sombra Reposé.
This episode of Agave Road Trip is also brought to you in part by Agave Road Trip.
Wait, what does that even mean, Lou? Isn't every episode of Agave Road Trip brought to you by Agave Road Trip?
Well, yeah, in part that's right, but this is a special episode, Chava.
Ooh, special how, Lou?
Oh, Chava, I'm hurt. Have you forgotten? This is our first anniversary.
What? It's been a full year of Agave Road Trip. Have I survived that?
Yes, you have. So I thought that we deserve to do something special, you know, for us.
Oh, no. You mean like we should advertise our Agave Road Trip t-shirts or our genuine certified road tripper membership program?
Oh, Chava, you are always thinking like a capitalist. No, what I mean is something special for us. You and me.
That sounds creepy. What do you mean?
Oh, you know what I mean. Or at least Roy does, because I hear the beats in the background.
Oh, gringas and gringos, for the first time ever in our podcast, we are proud to present a full and complete Agave Road Trip theme song written by Lou Bank, produced by Gabriel Oliveira, and vocals with Mark Ricos.
With apologies for Jason for the episode going beyond 12 minutes.
Two dudes named Lou and Chava, in a car not built for back roads. Travel back roads never meant for cars. Their singular objective is to learn about agave, bring the knowledge back to gringo bars. Abba dabba 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 dibi di boom di boom, agave road trip. Abba dabba 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 dibi di boom di boom, agave road trip.
I am Lou Bank.
I am Chava Periwan.
And this is Agave Road Trip, the award-winning podcast that helps gringo bartenders better understand agave, agave spirits, and rural Mexico.
And today...
Today, Chava, what I want to put onto that tee and bat out over into your field, into left field there, is why aren't more wine drinkers drinking mezcal?
Because they're different people.
Well, no.
No. Well, when I say this, I mean, obviously, they're different people. But what I mean is the context. When you go to a wine event, when you go to a restaurant or a group of people that are drinking wine, they usually look very different to how the mezcal crowd looks like.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to tip this one back to you now.
Okay.
Would you say that our friend Guillaume Cuvelier from Davos Brands, does he look like somebody who would drink wine or drink mezcal?
He's a wonderful exception. I think that's why we need his quote right away.
Okay, so let's start with the quote from Guillaume. Take it away, Guillaume.
Is I think what attracts me in a way, or probably gave me the idea of bringing those Bordeaux barrels to Oaxaca, is that I could see the similarities between winemaking and mezcal, in the sense that mezcal is really about the terroir. It's about, you know, embracing and kind of capturing the flavors of the locale, and it's really what wine is about.
Yes.
Okay, so he gets it.
Yes, but that's the part that when I say they're different people, I tend to find, in the mezcal context, either a younger crowd or a more, I don't want to use adjectives that are going to insult anyone, but it tends to be more of a early adopters of stuff kind of crowd. I think the people that drink wine, they're people that learn this from their parents, their grandparents. Of course, there's like new wine drinkers, but I tend to find that in wine, it's sort of a more established tradition. Whereas in mezcal, I see like all these people that are more craving new stuff that are jumping on this shift. Chip, like think about investment. Like I will claim that in wine, you have like people that love investing more into like all, like blue chip stocks. Whereas in the mezcal context, it's all these people throwing their money into bitcoins.
Okay, so sit at the bar and show me your investment portfolio before I suggest what you should drink.
Absolutely. And I think 9 out of 10, I will be right.
Yeah. Okay, which doesn't really answer the... Like, you're saying then that there's no hope to move a wine drinker... over to become a drinker of neat agave spirits.
I think the part that people don't quite understand is has nothing to do with the technicalities. It doesn't matter how similar they are in terms of vintages, variation, traditions, heritage. The context in which one is drank and the other are very different. The groups of people that appreciate one and the other are very different.
Oh.
And the social element of it is what's really waiting, at least right now.
I think...
And I'm not saying they cannot be overlap,
but I think that is the opportunity. Again, like this is a podcast that helps gringo, an award-winning podcast that helps gringo bartenders better understand agave spirits in rural Mexico. The point being, we want to give them tools. And I think like this episode is an important episode for them because in theory, if we do our jobs right, if we want to really live up to that taste award, we have to help them figure out how to move those wine drinkers over to neat heritage agave spirits. And I think part of that starts with, okay, well, what are the barriers? And one of the barriers that comes to my mind, is, you know, if I'm a wine drinker, I want to meet my friend at the bar. I sit at the bar. What do I order? Well, you know, maybe I get into the whole show me your wine list and maybe I just say, give me your house red.
Okay.
Because I want something really simple to start with, right? And I don't think there is a good house red version of mezcal.
You're not happy with your normal espadín?
Well, I actually am. But I think the average, okay, so if you think about what a house red is, it's usually an affordable, simple, here, drink this. And
I think you don't drink a lot of wine. Well, but like as a concept, sure, yeah.
Okay. Okay. You're right. I don't drink a lot of wine. That's fair. But, you know, I think the Mezcal version of the House Red, so to speak, I think the Mezcal version of the House Red is, in essence, a cocktail Mezcal. And I got no problem with a Mezcal that is made specifically to be put in cocktails. But because the gringo palate tends to lean towards cocktails, and they tend to expect a Mezcal cocktail to be smoky, I think the cocktail Mezcal, or in essence, the House Red of Mezcals, is going to be overwhelmingly smoky compared to what they would normally expect or get even from a more heritage made.
But is that a problem? Like I there's so many over the top smoky stuff that I, or whatever it's called, smoke top smoky stuff that I do not mind at all, that I think it's fine.
Well, yes, but you've also said in previous episodes that you don't really taste smoke, and it wasn't until Gringo said it's smoky right? So, like, to you, and even to me, and not even like even before I started drinking Mezcal, I was cooking so many pigs on my Big Green Egg that smoky kind of disappears on my palate.
I don't think I quite agree with you on that one, because then what will be a nice a nice House Red? Like, would you say that it has to be something that it's has a really good middle ground between agave and like what is that? What's that flavor profile that will define a good?
God, it's funny. I this is gonna make you nuts when I say it, but I think maybe it's a Salmiana from San Luis Potosí.
No, you're gonna traumatize people. No.
Oh, I think it's lovely. I think it's got this beautiful pepper. And even when it's smoky, I think that peppery flavor that sort of tastes like poblanos to me, not like black pepper, but poblanos, I think that tends to speak louder than the smoke does.
Maybe, you know, another, like on that note, though, I'll let you go with that one. on another note, I also think, you know, if you're sitting for lunch with a friend, and just for a beer and a cup of wine, it's not perceived by third parties. And you're like in your lunch break in work. It's not perceived as the same as if you ask for 2 ounces of hard liquor.
Well, you know, okay, so I think that's a great point, right? Because when you order 2 ounces of liquor, it's seen as a shot. And people are not, at least here in the USA, we're not accustomed to drinking neat spirits slowly by sipping, which is really the only way to appreciate these beautiful things.
Of course you do.
Spirits.
You have scotch. Come on.
Okay, how many people drink scotch when it's not scotch and soda in the USA?
I'll say a lot.
Okay, you say a lot. You live in Mexico City.
Okay.
You guys drink Buchanan's.
Yeah. Okay, I'll...
Like what I'm telling you is, you're not seeing a lot of gringos going into bars in the USA and saying, "Hey, give me your scotch."
Do you think it'll make a difference if they were to serve you the 2 ounces in an old fashioned instead of a shot glass?
Oh, without question, I think it would make a difference. But I also think that 2 ounces is a lot. You know, I tend to think of when I'm sipping, I tend to do a 1 ounce pour. And it gives me, if I want more, I can order a second something. But I, you know, to me, that's sort of the equivalent of your glass of red wine is a 1 ounce pour that you can slowly sip on while you're having a conversation with your best friend.
Yes, and that in so many ways resembles the there's a reason why the American coffee is called an Americano. Yeah, you know, like an Americano. Yeah. That's what you guys, you guys like big pours of something you can be sipping for hours.
Like wine. I don't drink a lot of coffee. This is an Americano?
Yeah, an Americano. Like when you go American coffee, I'm an Americano. It's a watery, long glass of coffee. Whereas in Italy, Brazil, other places, you have your espresso, which is a shot. So maybe it's just an American problem.
God, you know, I hate myself for thinking this, but now I'm thinking maybe the answer is, oh God, I can't remember the words. You'll know this. What is the red stuff that you drink alongside sangrita?
Sangrita. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like maybe that's the answer.
Okay, but explain sangrita though first.
I'm not sure that I can.
Well, sangrita is it's called a flag in Mexico sometimes. Also referred as a flag.
So like FLAG?
Yeah, the flag, like the thing that blows around and tells you that you're from a country. So you have, you'll ask for a flag, and it's usually a shot of tequila, a shot of lemon juice, and a shot of sangrita, which is this prepared drink made out of like tomato juice and spicy agents.
And usually really citrusy, at least the ones I've had.
Very citrusy. Like every bar, every bar that respects the cantina, that respects themselves in Mexico City, will have their own secret recipe for the sangrita. And what you do, if you have it as a shot, if you have your tequila shot as a shot, then will you have the shot of sangrita? But if not, you'll be sipping the two.
Oh, God, you know, and you can imagine the reason I hated myself for thinking it is because, in essence, you're going to be drinking something that's spicy or citrusy that pulls you away from the flavors of that beautiful agave spirit. Maybe, hang on a second. So maybe the solution is like a Topo Chico, is like a mineral water. Is like, so you've got something for the long sip.
Yeah, you have something for the long sip and like something to, I don't know, maybe it's just reframing your education.
When reframing your education about the spirits?
About how you consume stuff.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to do that quickly over lunch.
No.
But I think that maybe that is the point to this episode, is none of this is going to be easy, right? Like right now, mezcal sales are... We always say 1%, but the last time I checked, it was actually closer to like 1.8% of tequila sales
in the U.S. Yeah.
Which is like still just tiny, 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 but has almost doubled over the last 5 years.
Okay, and sorry.
So my point being, like maybe we're actually on the right path. Like, I'm frustrated. Like, I'm not working behind a bar. I don't own the mezcal brand. I don't have any real stake in this that is beyond emotional, but...
That's a very important stake.
Sure. But, you know, maybe, in fact, I got no business being frustrated that it's taking the consumer population decades to relearn habits.
Well, I also think that the one thing that irritates the hell out of you is that... All these stories that are linked to wine about heritage, about terroir, about how special this thing is and how hard it is to make it and the level of skill of the wine professional, it's not understood with such length or such passion in the mezcal context by a wider audience. When, if we're trying to be absolutely objective, sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes the mezcal makers have a lot more experience and it's a lot more complex to make what they're doing than the most expensive wine.
Right. Yeah. You know what? There you go. You put your finger on it there. And what scares me, right, is that the consuming public, the public that is consuming red wine, doesn't recognize that this thing exists. And I think the people who really do truly love fine wine and will go into a restaurant and drop $300 for a bottle that they share among four people in a night. Is that a thing? That seems like a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. That those are the people who could potentially help to preserve this tradition of hand making these spirits in a way that has disappeared in most of the world. And if those people who should be morally obligated to help protect this heritage, if they ignore it, does the industry end up leaning more heavily towards that smoky version of mezcal that you drink in a cocktail, which ends up causing more of these families to not be able to continue doing what they're doing that makes these beautiful versions that we love
much? I'll close up with this example. So, and it's a fashion example. So say you love fine textiles.
Okay, sure. I love fine textiles.
Exactly. And Hermes, you know what Hermes is? Hermes? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so we call it Hermes here.
Hermes. So they do really fine silk. And if you were to take the same analogy that you're trying to suggest, an Hermes connoisseur or a buyer of this brand will also be extremely interested in hand-woven textiles of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is that doesn't quite happen. They're interested, yes, in the silk, but also in the brand and the places where they buy this, the context where that is acknowledged to be of value, the how elegance is perceived through these specific type of prints and textures. They're not necessarily profoundly interested in the technical parts of how this product was made. So the fact that they can acknowledge value in this highly technical product doesn't mean that that appreciation can translate to something that it's even more valuable, because that thing that might be more valuable is not acknowledged with the same appreciation in the context that they inhabit.
So then what should gringo bartenders do, Chava?
Try to change that.
Which I think gets back to that idea that maybe they have been doing this all along, and maybe that's why this market is growing at the pace it's growing, which as you know, again, it's a tiny, but the pace of growth is enormous. So maybe it really is happening at a greater rate than I'm seeing.
I hope. Okay. I really hope.
Yeah. Okay. I think we'll wrap it there.
Adios.
Hasta pronto.
This has been Agave Road Trip, the podcast that helps gringo bartenders learn about agave spirits. Your hosts are Lou Bank and Chava Periban. Sound engineering by Roy Sierra. Theme song performed by Gabriel Oliveira and Mark Rico. Sign up to become a road tripper and listen to more episodes at agaveroadtrip.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let us know. And if you hated it, recommend it to your enemies. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lou is in charge of our social media, so if he happens to sound like an old man, forgive him. He is one. Agave Road Trip is a production of 10 Angry Pit Bulls, Inc.
Agave Road Trip is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network is food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. To subscribe to the Heritage Radio Network newsletter, enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with Heritage Radio Network on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find Heritage Radio Network at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. Heritage Radio Network couldn't do that without support from listeners like you. Become a part of the food world's most innovative community today. Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the Heritage Radio Network family by becoming a member. To become a member of the Heritage Radio Network, click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Heritage Radio Network can become addictive. Programming you hear on Heritage Radio Network can drive you to eat, drink, and listen to more programming on Heritage Radio Network. If it drives you to drink, please do not drink and drive. Drink responsibly. Eat responsibly too, and listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly. To listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly, wear protective earbuds. While wearing protective earbuds, do not drive or walk. Sit in a comfortable chair. If that comfortable chair has a hard seat, please remember to get up and stretch every 30 minutes. If you get up and stretch every 30 minutes, do not stretch beyond your abilities. Stay within your defined stretching capacity and consult a doctor who specializes in stretching. If you do not have a doctor, listen to all the shows on the Heritage Radio Network. There has to be at least one doctor among the Heritage Radio Network podcast hosts. Thanks for listening. Agave Road Trip out.